Hey guys, and welcome to Fatherhood. You are listening to the Dad's Group podcast, a place where you and I get to connect with incredible leaders, check the future of fatherhood together, and dig deeper into what is happening inside the minds and hearts of new and expecting fathers. Today, we'll be hearing from Dad's Group legend, Adam Tardif, who'll be sharing with us more about Dad's Group and his specific role as National Engaging Fathers Leader. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands we all meet on today. I'd like to pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging in any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people we have listening to this episode today. Well, welcome everyone to today's episode. Adam, welcome, mate. Good to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great, dude. And just want to start us off again, because we're really trying to target new and expecting dads. We get new guys tuning in, new dads and mums as well. Like 25% of our listeners is female, which is awesome. But for the new person coming in, doesn't know about much about Dad's Group, trying to check it out. Can you just explain a little bit more, what is Dad's Group?
Dad's Group's an organization that develops or that has developed programs and ways for fathers, new and expecting fathers and families to connect in local communities. We find that it's really challenging for dads to maintain friendships with their friends, as in people they might have known from high school or work friends, whatever it might be. You know, so continue their social circle, particularly when they don't have mates around them that have got kids or kids the same age. And so there's a big gap where once you become a father, it can become quite isolating, as we talk about quite a lot. And so Dad's Group is literally an organisation that has developed groups all over the country for fathers to meet with other fathers at local cafes, parks, whatever it might be, that allows them to spend time with their baby, give mum time to herself, and basically learn quite quickly, you know, the intricacies of being a parent to a newborn or a young child. And so but the higher end type stuff, to be able to do all that, we need to have programs and ways to be able to develop funding or gain funding from, whether it's hospitals, you know, state funding, grants, you know, local councils, that kind of thing, philanthropists, sponsors, you know, because groups, most organizations that run voluntarily and purely voluntarily don't last, particularly in a space where fathers don't, or men don't just are not great at just willingly engaging with other random men without there being something in place that allows them to be able to understand what it really is. It's until they come along to a meetup and with their kid, they rock up, they see a bunch of dads pushing their prams or whatever it is they're doing with their baby, and they meet at the cafe, they sit down, they drink their coffee, they have a casual chat about whatever, and walk away feeling like, you know, feeling good, you know, feeling good. And you know, the other part of it is that in that, I love hearing stories about what mums are doing during that hour or two or whatever. Particularly if they come and meet up with us at the end, you know, and they share, oh, I just went and had my nails done, or I just went shopping, and not food shopping, clothes shopping for the first time in 6 months or more, for new clothes again. And just the look on their face and just the satisfaction that they have. Just, that's one of the things I love seeing so it's one thing when I see dad sitting there talking, socializing, having a laugh, having fun, but it adds another layer when a mum or a partner shows up and shares what they've just experienced for themselves as well.
Yeah, I really resonate with that. My wife really resonates with that as well, man. That's really, really cool. So your title, so you're obviously working for Dad's Group, and your title is National Engaging Fathers Leader. That's a big title, dude. Can you elaborate on that? What does that mean?
Yeah. National Program Leader. National Program Leader.
I'm going to update the website.
there we go. Good. You got your Google Ads.
Yeah.
Work on that. yes, National Program Leader. It essentially, my job or my role is to have designed these programs that we're talking about, which generally all of it comes back to there being a group or there being a social space, you know, and whether it's, you know, meeting up, you know, the Engaging Fathers program, which is where we form partnerships with councils, hospitals, that kind of thing, to bridge that gap between dads having no real engagement with other dads in the local council area. So mothers groups generally get, well they call parents groups, but that are on the back end of a parents group of maternal and child health services. And generally they then encourage those mums to form groups, you know, continue the group on, you know, develop a WhatsApp group or whatever and continue communicating. Which in our area, you know, my wife and I, you know, it doesn't always work out this way, but we are very, we're very grateful. We've still got, we had about 12 mums and dads that, you know, parents that from our parents group with William, you know, 5 years ago. And, one lives in my street and some of us met up on the weekend, over at our house. And, you know, so we still catch up quite a lot. We still have a joint birthday for all of our kids where we meet somewhere. So we're quite close. But, you know, I was going along to the maternal and child health appointments, sessions, I should say, and I was the only dad sitting in the room. And that's traditionally how it works, because they're during hours when dads aren't available or have the capacity to go. But I was lucky enough to have a job at the time where I could pop in or make the time to go and be there or whatever it might be. And sometimes I'd do it and my wife would stay home instead. And so what I'm saying is that there's no real opportunity for dads to meet those other dads unless sometime down the line those mums do continue to meet up and they might have a barbecue and there's the dads they meet up there. But that's probably 6 months or more down the track. But they won't generally connect after that, you know, or outside of that, unless they start to develop a friendship with someone. So essentially my role is to create these programs and establish partnerships with other organizations to be able to support these groups, not only financially, but collaborate together to continue and support those fathers, to support the fathers to be able to engage with each other. It's the same as what we just spoke about before. All of it comes back to, it's all there to be able to establish groups in local communities with support and for fathers to be able to go and meet up, have a coffee, go home. It's as simple as that. And then the other part of my role is to employ group leaders across those groups, to be local fathers, I should say, to become group leaders or recruit, employ, whatever you want to call it, to lead those groups. We very much rely heavily on these local fathers to be the group leaders. And we are just forever grateful for the amount of contribution they make, you know, they don't get a lot in terms of it's not an income earning thing. They can't just go and quit their job over it initially, but they do this great amount of contribution and work by purely out of passion and being kind and just and keen to meet other dads. Often they just want to do it because they themselves want to meet other dads. So my role is to recruit them, train, support, educate, and provide that ongoing support from then on. and as you know, as long as the funding period is going. Sadly at times though, you know, we don't get to support them as much as we'd like. You know, when the funding runs out, it's really difficult because there's other projects that do have it, and we kind of need to focus on that. And at the end of the day, though, we do what we can to try and support group leaders, whether they're funded or not. And we'll continue to battle that. And part of that, and the extra part of my role, is to source the funding to be able to try and get that capability back and that capacity back. And so that's often writing up proposals, you know, contacting different services and organizations, you know, having conversations with politicians and you know, and continuing to just try to bring in that income to then allow us to keep doing the work we do, because without that, it's almost impossible to carry on the good fight.
That's awesome. And something you said there was really cool about how Dad's Group is, you know, your part is to get the funding, get the groups together, but also to partner with different organizations. And that's really key to Dad's Group, where integrated model of care. So it's not just Dad's Group doing its own thing, but we do partner with amazing organizations that help deliver that support to families in various different needs that there are. How do you find that process? Okay, so you've started up a group. You've got funding. This is a funded group, because again, you know, we can spend more time on funded groups because we can employ someone to help run that group. So you've got a funded group, you've got that together. How has that been? What's the response been like of trying to get those different organizations to work together and councils sort of like utilizing that and wanting to keep that on?
Yeah, great question. In terms of organizations, you know, when particularly maternal and child health organizations, it depends. So if the council themselves, you know, so for example, Moreland City Council, they fund Dad's Group out of their own, or they have, they've been funding Dad's Group out of their own budget. Right. And I have to give, you know, like that council has been incredible for Dad's Group and for the Engaging Fathers program as it is, because it's actually built the foundations of what the Engaging Fathers program is today. That being said, it's really important to understand that we operate in a manner that we don't just go, hey, this is what we do and this is how we're going to do it. You know, we are very collaborative. We find out the need, and then we identify if we can, you know, solve those needs or work together to solve those needs. And then we design the program as is, you know, and it's really important to have that, because, you know, all councils can have all different kinds of demographic in them. They can have different things that they're trying to achieve. You know, and so if the council themselves have paid for it, then it's just a no-brainer. It's straight in, we start working on it. When I've another council, like the Stonington Council, for example, we applied for a grant and we won the funding for that grant. And then it was going to the council, you know, services like maternal and child health and other organisations, and making our introductions from there. I was already in conversations, and the proposal was directly to the maternal and child health coordinator, Leah Giardina. And so it was already pre-designed, and the conversations and the relationship was already, the foundations of it were already built. Whereas, yeah, Stonington, for example, it was about going to them after, okay, we've got this funding, this is what we can do to use it. Do you want to work with us? Blah, blah, blah. So it kind of, you know, works a bit backwards the other way. However, in terms of how keen are they, well, we solve the problem that every maternal and child health service has. and that is that they struggle to engage fathers, whether it's a capacity thing or a capability thing, you know. So it allows us to so the group that I talked about before, where mums will generally carry on that their maternal child health parents group, the dads don't still, unless there's we've come in, what we've got now is that when a father goes into, you know, maternal and child health appointment with their partner, let's say they're walking into, the South Yarra maternal and child health office, right? And they walk in, they sit with the maternal and child health nurse, and the nurse looks at them and says, "Hey, by the way, we've got dads of South Yarra here for you, and mum can join it too. Here, click on this QR code. This is where the Facebook page is. This is where they meet up or whatever." and they join. They basically get connected to a group that's for them at that appointment. Or mum might go home with the flyer and say, "Hey, join this group. It'd be great for you," whatever, and get encouraged by the partner to join the group, and then they do, right? So what that does is that, and what we've, and everything we do is researched, you know, and so we've found that fathers have reported that by the nurse having something to offer them, you know, and that it's a space and it's a group that is there for them, begins to give them a sense of belonging, and instantly gives them a sense of that, me, I actually belong in this space. And even better than that, fathers have talked about how they feel like they are actually more important to their child's life, that they're actually included in the conversation, that they actually matter. They're not just walking in, sitting there, and maternal child health nurse sits there, talks to mum, checks baby, might ask dad, "How are you going? Here's a pan of flour," and walks out. You know? So it allows the father to feel included, and the mother as well, in a sense. But on the other side of that too is that it gives the nurses more capacity to be able to engage the dads. They've got something to talk to them about beyond just "How are you right now?" if they even ask that question, right? And so it allows them to have something to talk about and go beyond just themselves and the partner. And it also gives the service itself overall a more inclusive service for fathers within that. So the question was from you is that, you know, how keen are they, or what's the desire? You know, it's they're all too keen, you know, and the response is amazing. You know, you I suppose, not only from the fact that, as I said, it solves their problem, or it solves, you know, one of their biggest problems, but they get really keen and involved in it, you know, like they get really excited and passionate about it, because they are generally really passionate about it. It's not a thing that they particularly mean for people to not engage dads. There's every organization for maternal child health that I've spoken to has the desire to engage fathers, has the passion to engage fathers, but just don't have the capacity or the time. And when I say the time, I mean, they find it hard to connect with dads. However, that being said, part of what I love doing in my role is working with them to find ways to be able. There's got to be ways. We don't go, "Okay, dads can't get engaged. They're at work. Don't worry about it." It's not about that. It's actually looking at ways, okay, how can you engage your dads? Is there a text messaging service you could do? You know, is there something that you could do that does engage them in some way, shape or form? We can't just sit back and go, "Well, they're at work, we don't find that we can engage them, it's hard, too hard, we won't do it." But there are a lot of maternal and child health services out there that or you know, whether it's the service or some nurses themselves that kind of unfortunately still do have that attitude. And I can understand that to a point. But now we find, you know, with the research that we've got and we've found as to how critical it is for fathers to feel or to be engaged with their children, I think it's becoming pretty clear that they might want to start getting a bit better at it.
Yeah, definitely, man. And that's really great, dude. That's really cool. Like, so we've got the councils or the funders, because you're a huge part of our Capricorn project up in Rockhampton area, and that's with the Smith family. So it's more than just councils that are getting involved and supporting Dad's Group and partnering with Dad's Group, which is really great. So we've got people that are really excited. We've just had the PBC Expo happen this weekend where, you know, members of Dad's Group volunteers rock up to PBC Expo and just share about what Dad's Group doing. And we've been a part of these expos before as well, dude. We weren't at this one, but the response you get is massive, dude. We got, you get dads that are excited. You get dads that come up to you like in tears because they're so fearful of becoming a dad. And then you get dads that are like, oh, and then you get mums that are also like, oh, my partner would really benefit from this, blah, blah, blah. So you get, there's a lot of excitement about it, like happening in the idea of it. Can you share with us some stories that have come out of Dad's Group, out of the national programs, the you've been attending a couple of night sessions as well down in Melbourne and stuff like that. Do you have any stories to say like, all right, great, there's a good hype about the idea of Dad's Group, but these are some cool stories from within Dad's Group?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I've had a father, you know, share with me that, and I suppose I'll go deep real fast. I've had actually more than one dad tell me that Dad's Group has saved their life. And it wasn't, we didn't do anything different to what we've done since it started. And that was have a space for him to just come and meet and connect with other dads. I'm not saying we're the only thing. I mean, their words. You know, I'm sure there were other contributing factors that helped, but they what they've spoken about is that they were at their wit's end. They felt like they tried everything else, and it was Dad's Group for them that had helped save their life just purely by building a friendship or connection with other people in their community and learning from other dads that the stuff that he was going through or they were going through, that they're not the only ones going through it. And that, so that normalizes, typically that normalizes whatever the issue is, you know. Another dad, you know, I've also hear of other dads that who've discovered there are, you know, some mental health issues that they didn't realize was actually a real thing for them purely when another dad has shared, you know, for example, there's a father that shared that was sharing about experiencing childbirth trauma. And he was describing it a bit. And there was another dad that sat there and said, hang on, you went through that too. Now I realize that's what I've gone through. And that dad was a dad for 10 months. And when I say a dad, you know, baby was 10 months old. And so it's things like that are super, super powerful. But another story in terms of just the general fun of it, you know, not so much a story, but again, you know, when you're just standing there at a playground or something or at a park and you look around and all these guys are just laughing and playing with their kids and hanging out and just, you know, just enjoying the time, enjoying the weather, being out, whatever it might be. When you just look around and see that happening, it's just super special. And that's 99% of the time. Well, in fact, whenever I'm around a dad's group, whether it's in a cafe or a park, whatever, whether it's one other dad, two other dads, 15 other dads, whatever it might be, that's generally what you see is conversations going on. And so, yeah, I think those are a few of the deeper stories. And another one actually is that this has happened. It's funny that people in Stonington must still be, you know, in quite a bit of shock on seeing dads walk together, you know, with prams or sitting at a cafe. I've been at three meetups, and it's happened more than this, but I've been at three meetups within the two groups in Stonington. And the last one, there was a bunch of us, we met at a spot at a park, and then as we were walking to the playground and a bit more of a shaded area, there was a couple of ladies, you know, older ladies sitting on a park bench. And as we're walking by, they're like, "Oh, is this a dad's group? Oh my goodness, this is just so beautiful." And we're like, "Oh, thanks very much." Keep on walking. And then, you know, at two other meetups, we've had men and women walk by and stop and talk to us and say and ask, "Is this a dad's group?" And quite shocked and amazed by it. On two separate occasions, ladies wanted to take a photo of our group. You know, it's like, no, you can't. You're a stranger. You can't take photos of our dads and their babies. But thanks for the compliment. And it's funny though, because you know. And I can hear Kate, Tom Docking's wife, saying, "You see a bunch of women walking along pushing prams, no one's fascinated and shocked by that. And, you know, but you see a bunch of dads and people are gasping at it, you know." And
well, it's changing the culture of fatherhood. It's changing the perception of what we should and could do. And this is what's really special, dude. Like, a mate of mine, Josh, and I were at a playground yesterday, and his wife and my wife were there too. We got chatting to this new dad down there, we didn't know him. He wasn't a new dad. He had like a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old or something like that. But we went got down.
That's
and
not new.
No, it's not new. But like
a new dad to the group,
a new person. We just met this random dude. We just met him down the park, and we're having these conversations about dad's group. He was just asking about dad's group and all that sort of stuff, and it was really cool because we were able to explain like. Because he was just saying about how, you know, he doesn't really like going to the pub to meet new guys and stuff because the conversations sort of like go along with that environment that you're in. And we were able to say like, well, with dad's group, because you're, you know, it's dads with their kids and even granddads come along too. Like ours, you know, we've got a granddad that comes along to ours, which is a whole other level of special. The conversations lead around that. And it's really, that's what's really special about my experience with dad's group is you're with other dads, with their kids, the conversations tend to go there because of the environment that you're in.
It just creates an environment that allows you to be invested and involved with your baby. I mean, don't get me wrong, that you want to have your own space to go and hang out with your mates elsewhere as well, whether it's a pub or go over hit a golf or surf or whatever it might be. You have to have that if you can. Excuse me. But yeah, in terms of, you know, what's a weekend activity that you can do with your child, it's go, you know, if you haven't worked out this already, it's a lot more fun and easier to go and spend time with your baby, but also hang out with other, you know, it's a lot easier and more fun when you get to hang out with other people at the same time that are going through the same experiences or similar experiences as you, you know, and it's fun. And when you talk about grandfather, you know, we had a granddad come along to the Man with the Pram event that we did in Stonington, and he just came up to me and he's like, "Man, I wish I had this type of group when I was a dad." Because it's, and I love hearing that, especially when, because, you know, you see stuff on, you know, whenever you see a story about, like we've had some news coverage around dad's group, right? So with our partnership with Movember, I remember I was with one of the guys there, and we were being interviewed on Channel 10 News about it was a story around mental health and fatherhood, right? And anyway, the comments to that, you know, if you went on the Channel 10 social media page on Facebook or whatever, the comments that you see, there's a lot of, you know, oh, well, this is great. But then there's so many of those, you know, there's so many older people that, you know, might be grandparents, or they were, you know, parents 20, 30 years, they started to be parents 20, 30 years ago, whatever it might be. And just going into that thing of, oh, what are they whinging about? You know, what, like, buck up, you know, everyone, like, we've all done it. Just what, who cares? Blah, 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 whatever. You know, just negative comments. And not, I kind of laughed it off. But, you know, there is still this kind of culture of, yeah, just dip in and get it done. And, you know, but then there's so many grandfathers and grandmothers, obviously, that are saying, wow, I wish we had this. So they're clearly, and so my argument to when people are giving that kind of negative vibe around it is that, yeah, okay, you might have survived. You might have done okay. But are you telling me that this wouldn't have made it better? You know, are you telling me that we wouldn't, if we were around when you were a younger parent, that we wouldn't have been helpful for you, that it wouldn't have been good for you, that you didn't have your struggles? Are the struggles now as a parent completely different to what they were 100 years ago? Absolutely not. They're still the same issues, probably different and a bit more pressure from different factors. But, like, the intricacies of parenting is, and the stresses of it, you know, at the end of the day, are pretty much still the same. And it doesn't matter what part of the world you're from either. So no one's saying that, you know, that it is the be all and end all, and it fixes everyone, or it fixes a problem, or when I say fixes everyone, I mean, like, it's not the problem solver for everyone. But if it makes something even just that little bit better, if it makes some kind of imprint on the world, and helps people enjoy their day a little bit better. And you can't tell me it doesn't help people when I've got, how can I have, within about 3 or 4 year period, how can I have 3 separate fathers from different parts of Australia tell me openly that it saved their life? I don't know, if I went through, you know, if I was to, you know, survey 1,000 people, 1,000 men, and say, how many times do you think you've heard someone say this? How many do you think would say, yeah, me? Like, it just, it's rare. So, yeah, I that's the sort of thing that kind of is a bit of a bugbear, but we don't focus on that. We focus on the positive. We focus on what the impact that we are making, and enjoy the grandfather that comes up to me and says, I really wish we had this.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I want to say too, like I said, our local group, you know, we've got a granddad that comes along, and it's fantastic. And for our listener now, bring your dad, you know, bring your father-in-law, get them to, you know, be a part of this journey with you as well. Because I think there's something so special about that whole cross-generational investment into your kids, and into yourself too. Like, you know, it sometimes can be a bug to have your parents around, but it is very, very special to have that focus is across generational. Another question that I wanted to ask was, how does Dad's Group benefit mums as well?
Awesome. Well, apart from when Dad takes bubs out for, or child, whatever you want to name them, takes them out for an hour or two to them, you know, with them to a meetup, it gives mum obviously some time to themselves, or partner time to themselves, to do whatever they want. That's all I'll name it as. You know, nothing specific, could be whatever they want. The fact is that it gives them time to actually do whatever they want. What's interesting too, though, is that I have mums tell me that they actually didn't know what to do. You know, they're kind of like, oh, I've been so invested and so engaged, and so, like, everything of my life for the past 6 months has been this child, and everything I've had to do has been all around that, them. And then when I suddenly finally had some time to just do whatever I wanted, I had no idea what to do. And so, but yeah, it's apart from giving them time to themselves and a bit of a break, the more higher end benefits of Dad's Group is that Dad's Group is very much about helping fathers build on their confidence and their capacity in parenting. You know, there's a lot of dads that go along to a meetup. They might have a 3 to 6 month old, and it's the first time they've gone out without mum. So they've had to deal with whatever situation arises, whether it's a really full-on nappy or whether it's, you know, the baby's crying and it's up to them to soothe them. You know, they don't have mum to call upon. They've got to figure it out for themselves. And whether they achieve it or not, the fact that they've managed to discover that they can manage it and deal with it throughout that hour or so, depending on however long it goes, whether Bub settles or not, but they still manage themselves. They didn't get too overwhelmed. But if they do manage to soothe them, then they pretty quickly realize that, you know, because that's generally the biggest fear they've got. What if I take them out and I can't stop them from crying? You know, and how am I going to deal with that? Mum's not there to help me out. And the one that normally can soothe them or the one that does soothe them isn't there. And so it's building on their confidence and their capacity and their parenting through living the experience and actually being thrust into something that where they've actually got to manage the situations themselves. And so what that then generally does, and it also implants this idea of, hey, you can take bubs out without, you know, whenever you want without mum. And the gift of time, I would say this time and time again to new and expecting dads, it's not diamonds, it's time. You know, like feel free to go get them whatever diamond ring you want or, you know, flashy car, whatever. But that's nothing compared to what time is going to give their partner. So that's definitely a big element of it. But whilst they're spending that time with their baby, they're building their bond and their relationship with their baby. So therefore, even if they are at home, there's a greater chance that Bubs is actually going to want to go to dad if they're upset or for comfort or whatever. So it's not always going to be on mum. So whether it's they're out or they're home or wherever, it's not only building that capacity and their confidence in their parenting and their ability to be able to be active in the house. It's also, yeah, as I said, like it's dads spending time with their babies that builds that bond. And it's interesting because it can be there where they discover that their job isn't necessarily to be the disciplinarian. It's where they can discover that, oh, this actually feels really nice for being the one that Bubs comes to for comfort, you know, if it's for a cuddle or something. It's not just mum now. So, yeah, the benefits are very much around building a stronger co-parenting relationship and team simply by dads, yeah, building on their confidence and their capacity. Three main points would be join a dad's group. And if there's not one locally for you, then join with Digital Dad's Group or what was one of our digital programs. In that as well, as I said before, there are services, there are different father-focused organisations and services out there. So look for them. You know, there's SMS for Dads. You know, the support for fathers. You know, there are some amazing services out there that are fantastic. So go looking. If you're thinking you need something for yourself. Second point is look after yourself. You know, this fathering and parenting can be an extremely stressful time. It's probably the most challenging thing you'll ever do. So you've got to look after yourself through that process. And also the final point to that then is to look after your family, you know, or make sure that you're supportive for your partner. And what I mean by that is it's not just doing things around the house, but be emotionally available for each other. It's not just dad, it's also mum. You know, we often talk to dads about, you know, being emotionally available and supportive of their partners. But I think sometimes, and I can say this, not know that my wife has shared this before, sometimes mums have openly shared with me that they've realised that they haven't been as emotionally available or supportive of their partners because there's still this stigma that men are hard and they don't need that kind of emotional support, but it couldn't be further from the truth. So check in with each other, you know, make sure that you're checking in on each other. Don't assume that because you're living under the same roof that you know how each other is actually really going. Like, actively and genuinely check in and ask each other how you're actually coping, how are you going? Because most men, and this is for the mums or partners out there, most men hide it very, very well. I'm one of them. I hid it very, very well. My partner, and this was 4 years ago, and my partner still sometimes, like, you know, has queries around my experience of that time, or I'll share something and she'll be like, oh, I didn't realize that, you know. So again, as I said, you can be living under the same roof, but you can't assume that you know what each other's going through. So check in with each other and support each other in that way.
Great. And final question, mate. You just met yourself on day one of having your first kid. What would you say to yourself?
I'd say to myself, embrace everything that's thrown at you, you know. I've got two kids now, and the joy of going through the second time, you kind of realize what you didn't really, that you may have taken for granted the first time, you know, and so I've been able to luckily go through it again, and realize that. And so, yeah, I'd say just embrace the good and the bad. You know, as you know, Blair, that, you know, and as the, one of the things it's not that I enjoy hearing how hard it is from other dads, but it's reinforced, you know, that, again, I was talking with a dad that has a 3-month-old recently, and he was just like, man, I knew this was going to be hard, but this is the hardest thing I could ever, like, this is brutal. What have we done? Sometimes I wonder, what have we done? You know, but on the other end of it, it's that you you can think that, and then a second later they smile at you, or they laugh, or they do something cute, and it's just like, this is why I did it, you know. And so yeah, embrace every moment you can get as much as you can, and just take the good with the bad, and know that you'll whatever happens, just work through the tough times and maintain. Lean on people as much as you can for help, whether it's look after your kids, whether it's to talk, whatever it might be. That's what I'd say.
That's awesome, mate. Thank you so much, Adam, for sharing a bit more about what you do with Dad's Group and just expanding on Heart of Dad's Group and what we're trying to achieve here, and just the stories of just coming through that too. It's just really great to hear. It's super encouraging as well, mate.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate it.
Great. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. In this episode, you would have heard us talk about the amazing support that is out there for dads and mums alike. If you would like to check out some of those organizations that offer that support, go to our website at www.dadsgroup.org and click on the Get Support tab. There's some amazing stuff there for you guys to check out, amazing organizations and amazing help. Please remember to like, subscribe, and review, and please share with any dads and families that may benefit from hearing this episode. Cheers, guys, and see you next week.